Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
All right, let's learn. So we have Parshas Chayesar. So most of the Parsha, the bulk, is taken up of the quest of Eliezer, Avraham's servant, to find a wife for Yitzchak, which he, of course, does in the person of Rivka. And the story is repeated twice, as it happens, and then as Eliezer tells it over. And there is a fascinating little machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. It's a nuance, and it's a tiny little dispute that they have in terms of interpreting one phrase. But what I'd like to do is then sort of show how from that one disagreement that they have in one phrase, how it's going to weave its way through a great deal of the story and leave us with a lot of really interesting ideas. So let's just pick up the story on page one, the first page you have on the Chumash. Abram is making Eliezer take his Shavua. The idea, he says, is you must go to the home. You may not go to the Benos of the Knanim from where we live right now. You have to go to my home, to my land where I came from, find a wife from there. Eliezer says, well, what should I do if she won't come back with me? Abram says, don't worry about it. You'll be free from my oath as long as you go there. Just don't take anyone from here. Parenthetically, just because we spoke about this last week, Rashi writes, when Abram says, you'll be free from my oath, if you take a look at Rashi in Pasuk Ches, Rashi says, V'kachlo isha mibnos aner eshkol umamre. What should I do if I can't find a woman who's willing to come back? So Rashi brings in, what we spoke last week, so Abram says, okay, so then go to my three buddies, then you'll go to Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, and these three people come up again. So as I mentioned, Rashi mentions them throughout the story, where there's another just reference to them as far as it goes. Okay, in any case, Eliezer goes off, he takes the camels with him, he parks himself outside of the city, Pasuk Yud Aleph, he's outside the city, he's by the well of water, at night time, at the time that the women come out to go and draw water. And then he makes this test, this tefillah, this prayer he offers to Hashem for help. Here's Eliezer standing at the well, and he says, Hashem Elokei Aduni Avraham, you are the God of my master Avraham. Hakrei no lefanai hayom, allow it to happen before me today. Va'asei chesed im Adoni Avram, and do kindness with my master Avram. Let the following happen. What should happen? Says Eliezer, Hinei anoch nitzav aleinam, I'm standing now by the well. Uvnos anshei ha'ir yotzos lish'ov mayim, the daughters that are coming out to draw water. And here he says his big test. V'hayo hano'aro asher omari leha hatina kadech ve'eshteh. The young lady to whom I say, please give me from your pitcher that I can drink. The Amra, she say, and she says, absolutely, drink. The Gam Gimalecha Ashka, and to your camels also I will give. That's my test. I ask for water. Allow it to be that she will say, yes. And not only will I give you to drink, I will give your camels. Osa Hochachta Le'avdecha LiYitzchak. Now this phrase is going to be our key phrase. She will be the one, Osa Hochachta, you will have chosen or proven to be for Yitzchak. Uva Eido Ki Asisa Chasadim Adonai. And through her I will know that you have done kindness with my master. So Eliezer creates this test. He wants to say, I'm going to ask for water. I want her to say yes, and I'm going to give your camels. And what if she does? What if she passes that test? So he says a phrase, Osa Hochachta la'avdecha liyitzchak. She will be the one who is chosen or has been proven to be for Yitzchak. Rashi learns that phrase to mean exactly as I just said it, which is why I said it the way Rashi is in the bottom of page 2, Pasuk Yedalad. Rashi says, Osa hochachta, she has been chosen, ru'uya hilo, she is fit for Yitzchak, shetehe gomelas chasadim, that she's a kind person, one who does kindness. And it is fitting for her to enter into the house of Abraham. The Loshon Hochachta, what does it mean that when Eliezer says, Osa Hochachta Birarta, you've chosen her. So Eliezer, the way Rashi learns it, says, Eliezer starts off with a tefillah. Please let it be that the woman whom I say, give me to drink, and she says, yes, on your camels, that she is the one. It's a statement, Rashi reads it almost as a fact. The woman who does that, I know is the one. But meanwhile, he's got a problem, because there's still another piece of information, which is, She's got to be, she can't just be a woman of kindness. She also needs to be from a certain family. So how could Eliezer say she's the one? What about the family? So now she learns that's the back phrase, the last phrase of the pasuk, "Uva eda ki asisa chesed im adoni," that I will know through her that you've done kindness. Rashi says lashon techina. That's a tefila again. Hodia liba ki asisa chesed. Let it be known through her that you're doing kindness. That she should be im tia mi mishpachto v'hogenes lo. If she will be of the right family, eda ki asisa, and I'll know you've done me a kindness. So that he starts off with a tefila. Let it happen before me. I'm going to do this test. The one who responds as I'm asking her to respond, she's the one. It's clear, she's the one. And please just let her be from the right family. But the fact that she passed the test, Rashi says, Eliezer says the phrase, Osa hochachta, she's the one who you've chosen. It's clear. Now, the Ramban doesn't like that strong language to say that what Eliezer was saying is that the fact that she passed this one test is all that we need to know, that she's done. And then it's just a formality to make sure that she's from the right family. He doesn't. It's just not. It's not enough. So the Ramban, we finally got a Ramban in on the bottom of the first page. Ramban on the bottom of the first page. Pasuk Yudalid quotes Rashi. Loshen Rashi ruyi loshi yomelas chasodim, as we just saw inside Rashi. V'im kain, or the last line in the Ramban there on the right hand side. V'im kain yomar yadati. Eliezer says in the last phrase on the top of the page two, uva eida, through her I will know. Let her be from the right family. Ramban says, but according to Rashi, you already know. You just said it's definitive. If she passes the test, Osa hochachta, she's the one who's been chosen. So then you should have said, Yadati, I know that she's the right one that you've done kindness with. Ki be'emes Osa hochachta, lav d'chaliva, because you already showed me that she's the right one. So why does Eliezer go back to a tefillah and say, please let her be from the right family, after he just said, I'll know for sure that it's her, after she's passed my test? So Ramban makes a slight nuance, which we'll discuss it right now, and then go over it in a second. He adds a single letter to his understanding of what Eliezer is saying. Ramban continues, Avol Peirusho, Hakreino lefanai hayom hazeh hamikra, allowed the following event to take place, as Ramban Eliezer davens, Shetia hana'ara, that it should be the young lady, Asher Omar Eleha, that I say to her, give me to drink, and she says, absolutely, I'll give you camels. Osa shehochachta la'avdecha liyitzach, that she should be the one whom you will choose for Yitzchak, and I will know the chesed that you've done through the fact that she's the one. So that he has a shin. So the Eliezer's statement is a long tefillah. May it be that the girl who I asked for water, and she says yes, and I'll give your camels, that she should be the one from the right family, so that I'll know that you've done a kindness with Avram and you've chosen her for me. Which is a very logical way of saying it. Rashi understood it as a much stronger statement of the one who answers the test as such and gives me to drink, she's the one, please let her be from the right family. So it's a nuance of a shin, which the Ramban is really adding, because the Chumash doesn't have the shin. Eliezer's words in the Chumash is, Osa hochachta la'avdecha, she's the one you've chosen. Even though he has no idea what family she's from. But she's it. Ramban says it can't mean that because there's more information. It must be, let it be that she is the one who you will choose. Slight little nuance, not such a big deal. We can get into the technical nitty-gritty of the grammar. Except we're going to see from here is going to flow quite a number of differences in the story. So was that clear? So far so good? Okay, so let's see how it plays itself out. So Eliezer does the test. Pasuk Tezvav, going back to page 2 in the top. Terem kilo ledaver. He hasn't even finished speaking. He's still in the middle of his tefillah that Hashem should make this work out. And boom, out comes Rivka with an empty pitcher on her shoulder. Now the Torah tells us that she's Rivka and that she's from the right family. But Eliezer, he's not reading the Torah. He's living life. He doesn't know that. But he immediately sees a beautiful woman. She goes down to the well. She comes back up with her water. He runs to greet her and says, in Pasuk Yudzayin, Hagmi'ini no ma'at mayim mikadech, can I have a little bit of water to drink? Vatoymer shesei adoni, she says, absolutely drink. Vatimaher vatoyred kado al yodo, and she gives him to drink. He finishes, and then she says, Gam ligmalecha eshav. Now until that point, that's it, he's just giving me. His test was, she'll give me, and the camels. she gives him, he finishes, he's waiting, and then she says, I'm going to give your camels also. And he cannot believe what just happened. He didn't even finish speaking to Hashem. This young, beautiful woman comes, and exactly as he said needs to happen, you know, he made up this test. This wasn't some divine test that Hashem said, the girl, he made it up. He made up the criteria of, I want a drink, and she says, yes, and your camels. And that's exactly what she does. You're Eliezer, what are you thinking at this point?
Seems pretty clear.
It is pretty clear. This is really going well.
Is it that crazy that if someone had a drink, you would offer the camels?
So apparently, because then it would be a meaningless test. Now, let's say it was pretty common. So then he'd make this whole thing, it would be like, you know, it'd be like saying, the first girl who holds the door open for me as I'm walking into a building I'm going to marry. Like, good luck. All right. I mean, it's sort of a common, everyday nicety. I wouldn't base the marriage of Yitzchak on something like that. So I'm answering your question only by assuming the fact that he chose it, that it must be unusual. So he is mishta'e the Torah. He can't believe what's going on. Waiting to make sure that she's from the right family. That's the only thing left that he has now to figure out. Pasuk Chaf Beis. What does he do? Vayihi kasher kilu agmalim lishtos. The camels have now finished drinking. So what's he up to in his mind? The test he made up has been check. What does he have left?
Family.
What does he do? Vayikacha ish nezem zahav beka mishkalo. He takes a golden ring, ushneitz mi din al yodeh, and two bracelets on her hand. Asara zahav mishkalo, that were 10 units of gold, whatever it would be. Vayomer, and he says, bas mi'at, who are you? Do we have a place to stay? What's odd about this?
Why is he giving the jewelry before?
He gave the jewelry too early. He gave the jewelry, and then he says to her, so who are you? Who are you? What do you mean, who are you? Avram only was concerned about one thing. Avram's concern was family. You made up some test. You made up this idea that the girl who I asked to drink, and she says, sure, I'll give your camel, she's the one. That happens. You give her all the money, and then you say,
by the way,
who are you? So Rashi points out, Rashi in Pasuk Chaf Beis, it's actually Chaf Gimel, excuse me, we remember about Simiyat. After he gave her the money, after he gives her the rings and the bracelets, he asks her, he is positive that Hashem has made his way successful. Now again, this fits with Rashi. How did Rashi learn his tefillah when he started? He said, the girl who says yes and to the camels, Osa Hochachta. She's the one. You've chosen her. You will. So now it happens. So Rashi says, how did he give it to her? How did he give the money? Because he was positive that the Zchus of Avram, this is working out. And it is working out. So he goes, no problem. He goes ahead and he gives it to her. The Rabban says, the Rabban who read his original tefillah as not so strong, the Rabban who read it as, please let it be that the one who passes my test and is from the right family, she should be the one who you chose. How could he give her the money before finding out the most important piece of information that she's from the right family? Says the Rabban, you're misreading the pasuk. You're misreading the pasuk. The pasuk says again, Vayikacha ish nezem zahav. He took the rings and the bracelets. But there's a missing verb in the pasuk, says the Rabban.
Give them.
Look at the pasuk again. Vayikach ha'ish nezem zahav. He took the ring, ushneitz midin, and the two bracelets, al yadeha, on her hand, that were a value of 10. Well, what's missing, as you said? The verb that he gave it to her. Doesn't say it. It just says he took them. Where did he take them from? I don't know, I guess a bag or his camel, whatever. He took them. What did he do with them? So that doesn't say. It doesn't say what he did with them. Says the Ramban, bottom of the page, HaKosuv HaZeh Yechzer HaMaisa. This pasuk is missing the action. Shayetzorach Shiyomer Vayikach HaYish Nezem Zahav Vayitain Al Apo Shneitz Midin Al Yada. And he placed it on her nose and on her hands, the bracelets. Doesn't say that he placed them there. Ulekach Ani Omer, therefore says Nirvan, Ki Perusho Vayikach HaYish Nezem Zahav Shneitz Midin He took the ring and the bracelets that will be for her hand and her knows. Vayomer lo bas mi'at. And he said, so who are you? Va'achre sha'omre lo bas besu'al anochi. And then when she answered, he placed it on her hand and gave it to her. Torah doesn't say that. Says, you have to know how to read the Chumash. The Chumash doesn't say vayitain. It doesn't say that he gave it. So he took it because he was ready. He's like taking him out. He's like, hinini, muchonu, mezuman. Please be the right girl. Please be the right girl. What? Who are you? Yes. Here you go. That's what Rambam is what happens. He's missing the verb. Rashi says, it's like an optical illusion. Sometimes, you know, the mind, they show you those paintings where things don't look right, but the mind sees it there as if it's there. The Torah didn't say that he gave it. It doesn't have to. He took it out. It ends up on her hands. When do you think it got there? It got there right away. I don't need the verb in the pasuk. So that Rashi sees, he gives her the stuff before asking, because that's the implication of the pasuk. It says, Vayikachas anezem vazov al yada, and then he says, Vasmian. Rashi doesn't have a problem doing that, because Eliezer is super convinced that if she passed his test, this is going to work. The Ramban, who read his original tefillah as less than super convinced only from the test, she needs to be from her family, therefore he's not willing to read this pasuk that he gave it to her first. First he just held it in his hand. When she gives the right answer that she's from the right family, he gave it to her. Says the Ramban, I have a proof. I have a very simple proof. It's an obvious proof. Says the Ramban, read the rest of the story. Eliezer is going to go home with Rivka and is going to tell her family what happened. Look at what he says. I have it for you on page 3. He's in the middle of his story. We're skipping a page of Pesukim, but not for our purposes today. He's in the middle of telling his story. Let's begin in Pasuk Mem Vav. Vatamaher vatorit kadom yala. I asked her to drink, and she took down her pitcher from her shoulder. Vatomer shasei, and she said, "Give drink." Vegam gemalecha ashka, and also I'll give your camels. Ve'esht, and I drank. Vegam hagmalim hishkasa, and she gave my camels to drink. So he's recounting the story, and then he says, "Ve'eshal osa," and I asked her. Va'omar bas mi'at, who are you? Va'tomer bas besul ben nochor asher yodol milka. Ve'osim hanezem ala povat midim al yada. And then I placed the nose in a ring and the bracelets on her arms. Says Ramban, it's right there. You don't need me to. All that I'm saying is that there's a missing verb. The missing verb is clear that he never gave it to her. Because look, when he tells the story to her family, he says it as it is. He spells it out. That first he asked her, and then when she told him that she's from the right family, he gave her the money and the gold and the silver and all the bracelets. So says the Ramban, it's clear. Don't be bothered by what's going on as the actual story. He didn't give it until he asked. So far, so good? Meanwhile, Rashi learns that he did. Rashi was clear. Rashi says, Nasman v'yachar kach shala. First, he gave it to her, and then he asked. So what does he do with the Ramban's proof? The Ramban says, what do you want from me? It's a pasuk. That's what he says he did, that he gave, first he asked. And then when he found out who she was, so what does Rashi do with that? Says Rashi, no problem. Rashi's in Pasuk Mem Zayin, underlined on page 3. Rashi says, Ve'eshal, I asked, and then I placed. Rashi says, Shina HaSeder, he changed the order. Shaharehu Tchila Nasan, V'achar Kachshol, because really what happened, says Rashi, was, read the Chumash earlier. First, he gave it. And then he asked. But when he tells the story, he changes the order. So Ramban says, no, it's not changing the order. Ramban's telling you how it happened. Rashi says, no, he's making up a story. Now, why would he make up a story? Says Rashi. El shelo yitpasuhu bidvaros. He shouldn't be caught in his words. The Yomru, they're going to say, Heich nasatala, how did you give it to her? Adayin ein cho yodea mihi. They're going to laugh at him. They're going to say, you fool? You're a fool? You gave her all of that jewelry and the ring? He didn't know who she was. So Rashi says he was embarrassed in front of them. So he changed the order. So you have this whole different way of looking at this event. Rashi Ramban. But this Rashi, in his world, I find to be one of the most fundamental Rashis for how we live our lives. Rashi understands from the beginning, Eliezer makes a test, and he is convinced if the Ribbono Shel Olam carries out the test the way that he set it up, where the girl says, I'll give you to drink, I'll give your camels, Osa Hochachta. She's the one you've chosen. That's all I need to know. You've chosen her. Make it a formality. Do a chesed to Abram that she should be from the right family. But it's clear. So much so that when he meets her and she passes the test, he gives her the stuff right away. How could he do that? Put yourself in his shoes. You're the Eved of Avraham Avinu. Yeah, Avraham Avinu. You've seen Avraham all these years, the way he lives his life. You've seen him at the Akedah. You've seen him buying the plot of land. You've seen him do everything. And now you're on your way to find a wife for the Jewish people, the Jewish destiny, for the son of Avraham, for Yitzchak. And you make up this test. You don't even finish speaking. Here she comes. The test that you made up, she does it. You're Eliezer. What are you thinking? What are your ways of interpreting what's going on? So Eliezer sees it as, it's clear. And Bashan's running the world. He's taking care of his Eved Avraham. It's clean, clear as day, easy as pie. So what's happening? This is what, of course she's going to be from the right family. And indeed, 2 seconds later, what does he find out? She is. Was he surprised that she was from the right family? No way. No way. This is Eliezer. He's finding a wife for Yitzchak. It's happening exactly as it should happen. And now he comes into contact with the outside world. With somebody who didn't grow up in the house of Avraham Avinu. Who didn't grow up with Malachim in the house, in a home of Emunah, of an understanding that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world and who runs the world. And he comes into contact with the outside world. And Eliezer realizes, I have a problem. If I tell them the way that this actually happened, that it was so clear, I mean, look what's going on. The Ribbono Shel Olam is running the world. If I speak that way, they're going to laugh at me. Not only are they going to laugh, they're going to say, you're a fool. You gave her money without knowing who she was? What's wrong with you? So he says, I live in that world. They don't. So I make up a little story. I tell them that what I did was I asked her first and then I gave it. It's not really true, but that's what I told them. Because they can't comprehend the world I live in. They don't understand what it means to live with an understanding there's a bunch of them in the world. A Jew who lives with Emunah lives a life with a set of glasses on, and he sees things differently than the rest of the world. He interprets events differently. World events, national events, Jewish events. I see them, I interpret them. They mean different things to me, and the whole world looks at it completely differently. And they look at us and they say, what's wrong with you? You're a fool. You live that way? How can you do that? Doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't. Doesn't make sense to you. But I live in a different world. I live like an Eliezer. So sometimes I have to make up a story so that I can communicate with you because you don't live in the world I live. You don't see things the way that I see things. You ever try explaining to colleagues how we live our lives, like Yantif and tuition? And how. They're like, are you nuts? And I'm saying the answer is yeah, actually we are. How does it work? I have no idea how it works. Can't figure it out. 3,000 years we haven't been able to figure it out, but somehow, I don't know. So, but we just see. Someone just yesterday told me a story, just yesterday, that of a story about his wife's grandfather who had passed away, I don't know, 5, 10 years ago, who had a business. It was a mortgage company or something, and he had a major client. It wasn't J.P. Morgan, but it was a major bank was a client of their. Well, they had a specific niche, and their bank was a major client of theirs. And Rosh Hashanah that year fell out on a Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. Which means Rosh Hashanah was Monday, Tuesday, Sukkot was Monday, Tuesday, and Sfarah was Monday, Tuesday. So the grandfather, who's the owner of this company, called the executive vice president of his major client and said, I just want you to know, we're going to be closed Monday, Tuesday, and Monday, Tuesday, and Monday, Tuesday. So that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, Monday, you know, we're going to be closed up for the next 3 weeks. So he said, that doesn't work for us. He said, I'm really sorry, we're just going to be closed. He said, I can't. He said, do what you want. We're closed. On Simchas Torah, at the end of all of that period, without telling anyone, the executive vice president of the company flew down to the city where this they were. There was a New York-based company. And the grandfather was an outsider in New York, and the client was in a New York. But the executive flew down on Sim, which was the last of all these days that he said, we're closed, we're closed, we're closed, we're closed, we're closed, flew down to go to the office. And found it was closed. Wednesday morning, he walks in, and the grandfather says, you know, welcome. He said, I came yesterday to your office, and it was closed. He said, I know. I told you. We were going to be closed, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday. I couldn't believe that I came, and it was close. He says, that's the kind of person who I'm doing business with, who believes in that kind of, you know, that's just how you run your business. So you tell that story, and your author's like, I know, everyone here closed up their business on Monday, Tuesday, and that's how it goes. I miss my classes, that's what we do. Like, I don't understand, like, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, for 3 weeks, you're closing up? Like, yeah. Because, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I come in on Sunday, but, like, Saturday and Monday, Tuesday are closed. They're just done. We're making up stories, we're trying to explain. We can't say it straight of, well, the Rebbe created the world, and he gave us the yontif of Pesach, Hashem, that's it. I can't explain this to you. So Eliezer is the first to teach us that, in which he says, I can't talk to you straight. I live in a different world. I do. I can't talk to you. I understand this. We understand that he would give her the gold first. Maybe you should have waited a second. But it makes sense. I mean, how else do you interpret the events? The Rebbe Shlom's taking care of you. Look, he made up the test. You don't even finish speaking. She comes out. She does everything you want. Of course she's from the family of Avram, as it turns out. But I can't talk that way to the world. It's such a beautiful Rashi that reminds us we literally live in a different world. We see things, events, and interpret them in a way that says when you live with Emunah and you don't live with Emunah, you're living in different worlds. So there's no way around it. You just are. And I find this Rashi a chizik, just a beautiful chizik of, you know, the whole world can scream and yell about, you know, whatever it is, the Middle East, finances, who knows. But we live in a different world. It's okay, so they see it that way. What are we supposed to do? That's how they see it. We see it differently. And it has taught us to do that. It's a beautiful Rashi. One other quick thought on the Parsha. The Maral asks a question on Rashi's whole approach. Rashi learns, as we've been mentioning very strongly, Eliezer was convinced, clear as day, the woman who passes this test, she's in. May it be that she's from the right family, but it was pretty much a done deal already. So the Maral asks a question on the back page, on the right hand side of Yom Tomar, Rashi says, Heich Nichosh Eliezer Eved Avram. There's a prohibition in the Torah called Nichosh, divinations or creating omens. It's forbidden, it's an Isser Midaraisa, that let's say in your classic Western example that they'd like to bring, if a cat, you know, walks in front of you, or you walk under a ladder, or whatever it may be, that you change your behavior. Today's a bad day, I'm not going to invest money today because it's bad luck. Also Midaraisa to do that, to say that some event, some random event like that, should dictate my behavior. If I pull out, you know, a pair of Red Sox today, then I'm going to this place. If it's a white, I'm going to... You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to dictate your behaviors on these random events that happens. It's divinations, it's omens, and we don't believe in that. We're not allowed to behave in such a manner. So the Maral asks, which is a question that Tosfos asks before him, Eliezer seems to have done that. He created a test. He made it up on his own. And if she passed it, he was done. She's it. So much so, he's going to give her the bracelets and the jewelry before. It's over as far as he's concerned. We don't do things like that. So the Maral answers with a very simple idea, which is just significant as far as understanding the story. The Maral answers on the left-hand side of the page. V'nir Eli, delo havi ki haigavna nichosh. This is not really a divination. Toha filu belo nichosh shelo. Without his test, roi sheikach Eliezer isha zos. This woman was fit to be taken for the house of Avram. This is not a random test. This is a test to find out a woman of such character that she's the one of bestowing kindness upon others. Divinations are when you have a random test. As I said, a cat walks in front of you, I'm not investing money today. Today's a bad day. What does a cat have to do with whether the stock you buy is good? It's forbidden to do that. That's awesome. But to say, I'm going to check out two schools. And the school that's warm and nice and friendly and follows up with a phone call to see how my day went and takes me around, that's the school I'm sending to. That's not a divination or an omen. I'm looking for warmth and friendliness. And the school that shows it, that's the school that I'm choosing. To say the school that has blue on the walls versus the school that has red on the walls, that, all right, that's, you know, what does that have to do with anything? But when you take a value that you have and you look for that value, that's not a divination, that's not an omen, that's a value. And so the Maral answers was just, it's a simple answer with a tremendous yisod. Eliezer said, I'm looking for a woman who's a gomelas chesed. She says, I'll give you to drink and I'll give your camels to drink. And in answer to your questions, if I remember now as I'm saying that, someone saying, the wells of those days, the level or the amount of physical exertion required to draw water for camels is not something of, I'll just hold the door open for you. It was a both in time and effort and a tremendous amount of energy expended. It was not a normal thing to do. To give him the drink is one thing, but to go down after you draw that water and then draw it again, and the amount that you would need for camels is saying, I'm willing to do all of this, and it's just for animals even. The Farshim speak more about that in terms of how it wasn't such a common thing. You know, that's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for an omen or a divination. I'm looking for a character trait. And when I find that character trait to that extent, then I'm done. That has nothing to do with the random prohibition of looking for events and dictating your business. When you have such a value and you look for it in the extreme, you say, when I find that, that's what I'm looking for. That's what Eliezer was doing. That was the purpose of his test. And which is what we can intuit when you hear what the test is. That's what he's looking for. And he's sure such a woman would come from, indeed, the house of Avram, as it was. Okay, that's the Chumash part. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.